Now, a lot of people think that they're going to go to heaven because of how good they are. If we go around and ask people, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? A lot of them would say, yes, because I'm a good person, or yes, because I keep the commandments, or yes, I live a good life. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible actually says that we're not saved by our good deeds or our good life. It says that we're saved by the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, the reason why it's important to understand that we're not saved by how good we are, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So none of us is righteous. I'm not righteous, you're not righteous. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has sinned before, and because of that sin, we come short of the glory of God. Well, the Bible says there's a punishment for our sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But not only are we going to die physically one day, the Bible talks about a second death. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, what would we normally call that lake of fire? What would we refer to that as? Right. And the Bible actually has a list of people that are going to hell. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and sorcerers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, this doesn't really look like a room full of murderers to me. I don't see a lot of murderers in here. Probably not a lot of sorcerers. Anybody in here into black magic and witchcraft? Probably not. So you may not be a sorcerer or a murderer or anything like that, but you know what the Bible does say, and all liars. And I know I've lied before. Who here has lied before? Yeah, every single person. The Bible says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Unfortunately, we've all committed that sin. We've all lied before. But the Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So according to the Bible, that's where we all deserve to go, to the second death, to the lake of fire, because we've all sinned. We've all lied. And let's be honest, we've done other sins too. There are times when we've disobeyed our parents, which is a sin. There are times when we may have stolen something. Or even the Bible says just the thought of foolishness is sin. Even just thinking a stupid thought is a sin. And we have thousands of thoughts every day. I'm sure many of them are foolish. I'm sure many of them are stupid. So we've all sinned, but the good news is that God loves us. And if God loves us, of course he does not want us to go to hell. But was he just kidding when he said that the lake of fire is where we're going if we've lied? No, that's no joke. But that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ was God in the form of a human being, right? Because there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And so God himself came down to this earth in the form of a human being. He was born as a little baby, born of a virgin. And he was just a little baby, and he grew up, and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned one time. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now, Jesus performed a lot of miracles, didn't he? Does anybody remember some of the miracles that Jesus performed? Anybody remember one? Your hand popped up. Who's got one? Yes, there was a deaf man that he healed. What else did he do? Healed a blind man. He turned water into wine. Great. Anybody else got one? He raised Lazarus from the dead. Did she take yours? Is that? Anybody else got one? What about when he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You remember that? He did a lot of miracles. What about when Peter, remember his disciple Peter, actually whipped out a sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter swung a sword and chopped off one of the servants of the high priest's ear, and Jesus picked up the guy's ear and put it back on and healed it, right? You remember that story? So Jesus performed a lot of miracles, but he also preached the word of God. He also preached the truth. And a lot of people are offended by the truth. They get angry when they hear about the truth. When they hear the Bible preached, it offends people. It angers people sometimes. And so Jesus had a lot of enemies. So eventually Jesus got arrested. And they arrested Jesus at night. And they took him down at night. And they actually put him on trial. And then they beat him. They spit on him. They hit him in the head with a stick. and they also whipped him. And after that, they nailed him onto the cross. And the Bible says that when Jesus was nailed to that cross, that he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That means that every sin that you've ever done and every sin that I've ever done, it was as if Jesus had done it. He was basically being punished for our sins. And then after Jesus died on the cross, they buried his body in a tomb of a rich man named Joseph of Arimathea. They put him in that tomb and put a big giant stone over the door of where his body was laid. And his soul went down into hell for 3 days and three nights. And then 3 days later, what happened? He rose again from the dead, right? And when Jesus rose again from the dead, he showed the disciples the holes in his hands and the hole in his side just to prove that it was really him. Now, Jesus died for everybody in this whole world. But everybody's not automatically going to go to heaven. Because the Bible's teaching that there's one thing that we must do to be saved. And it asked that question one time. It said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So it does not say that you have to join my church to be saved. It doesn't say join your church to be saved. It doesn't say to join any church to be saved. Church is important. Church is good. But when it comes to being saved, the one thing that we must do to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Now, there are lots of things that we should do, right? What are some things that we should do? I mean, we should read our Bibles. We should pray. We should go to church. We should keep the commandments. We should do a lot. We should be a good student in school. We should obey our parents, obey the teacher. Those are all good things that we should do. But when it comes to what we must do to be saved, it's one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. See, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So notice it doesn't say whoever's good enough. It doesn't say whoever stops sinning. It says whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is the gift of God. Let me ask you this. If I were to give you a gift today, would you have to give me money for that if I'm giving you a gift? You're going like this, but now you're going like this. All right. Yeah, if somebody gives you a gift, it's free, right? So if I said, hey, what's your name? Hakeem. If I said, hey, I'm going to give you this Bible as a gift, Hakeem, but you got to give me $5,000. Is that a gift? What if I said, like, okay, Hakeem, I got this Bible for you. It's a free gift, but my car's outside. I need you to clean it out and wash it, and then I'll give it to you. Is that a gift?
No.
Okay, what if I said, hey, Hakeem, I'm going to give you this Bible as a gift, but you're going to be my servant for the rest of your life, so you have to obey everything, whatever I tell you. Is that a gift?
No.
No way. Okay, what if I said, here, Hakeem, I'm going to give you this Bible as a gift. It's yours for free. And then I came back 2 weeks later, and I come into the class, and I say, hey, Hakeem, I need that back. Is that a gift?
No.
Because the thing about a gift is that a gift is free, and once you receive it, it's yours forever. You get to keep it, right? So let me ask you this. If God gives us the gift of eternal life, is he going to come back and take it away from us? Is he going to break his promise and take it away? The Bible says this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So if God promised us eternal life, is he going to break that promise and take it away from us? So once he gives you that gift, it's yours. Now, that's why the gospel is called good news, because that's good news. The good news is it's easy to go to heaven. Do you think a loving God would want to make it hard to go to heaven or easy to go to heaven? If he loves us, right? It's easy. He wants us to be saved. He did the hard part when he died for us. That was the hard part, being crucified, being buried, rising again. All we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that easy to be saved, okay? And then once we receive that free gift of eternal life, there's nothing we could ever do to lose that, because Jesus promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once we're saved, we have eternal life. We're God's children. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Now, if we go out and break the commandments after we're saved, we're still saved, but he will punish us on this earth. You know, you will reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. And just as your parents will discipline you when you disobey, they'll punish you, but they're not going to throw you out of the family, are they? I mean, if you break a rule at your house, tell me a rule that's at your house. What's one of the rules at your house? There's no running in the hallway. Okay, and what's your name? Kelly? Kellyanne? So let's say Kellyanne goes home today and just starts running through the hallway. Just running through the hallway, just running up and down the house, right? Do you think her parents are going to say, you know, Kellyanne, you can't be our daughter anymore. You must leave home. We cannot have a daughter like you in our house. We're sending you away. Do you think that would happen? Okay, but do you think that they're just going to smile and say it's okay? Just keep on running, Kellyanne. Do you think they're just going to be like a pit crew, like giving her water and Gatorade and telling her to keep running? No, they're going to make her stop, right? And they're going to discipline her and say, hey, you break the rules, you're going to be punished. But they're not going to throw her out of the family. Well, here, it's the same thing with God. If we break God's rules, he'll punish us on this earth, but he's not going to kick us out of the family, okay? Now, if she breaks it, that's probably a small rule. There's probably other bigger rules where she get a bigger punishment, okay? So let's say she breaks a huge rule, she's going to get a huge punishment. If she breaks a little rule, she's going to get a little punishment, but no matter what she does, she's still going to be their daughter. They're still going to love her, right? They're still going to give her food and a place to sleep. It's the same way with God. Once we believe on Jesus Christ, we're his children. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If we break the rules, he'll discipline us, but he's not going to throw us out of the family. Does everybody understand what I'm saying today? Who believes what I'm saying today? You believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again and that you're saved by believing in Christ. Who believes that? Okay, well, listen, I want to pray with you real quick before I go, okay? I'm just about done. I just want to pray with you and help you tell God that that's what you believe right now and just confess that to God right now. So let's bow our heads and pray. You can just repeat this after me and just say this to God. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again from the dead. Please save me right now and give me the gift of eternal life. I'm only trusting you, Jesus, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Amen. Amen. Now, who just prayed that prayer right now and you meant it? Put up your hand if you meant that. Yeah. So here's the thing. Here's what the Bible said. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you might be saved. He said you shall be saved. Isn't that great news? So you already know the last chapter in your life. You already know that you're going to heaven when you die. But the question is, how are you going to live your life in between, right? Do you want to just keep getting disciplined, like if Kellyanne just ran through the hall every day? Do you want to keep getting disciplined, or do you want God to bless you and please God, and you want to love God and show him your love by obeying his commandments?